The ungrateful culture that we live in is a direct byproduct of who our ungrateful culture is tethered to. When our culture is not tethered to Christ, an ungratefulness is the natural outflow and byproduct. And yet the more content we become, the less time we will spend on comparing ourselves to others, and we will start understanding that what really matters is comparing ourselves to God.
Welcome to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. It is a joy to have you listening today, and we pray that you will be encouraged, challenged, and motivated to live for God like never before. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor John Couch.
I want to encourage you right now to take your Bible. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 3, looking at verse 17, as we listen to the final part of the message entitled, "And in Whatever You Do."
A contented heart shows that we believe. A contented heart shows that we trust. A contented heart says to a lost and dying world that my Jesus, he said, do not be afraid. Therefore, I'm just not going to believe in him, although we want to believe in Christ. We're going to dumb this thing way down. When he says, do not be afraid, we can actually believe that we should not be afraid. Because in whatever we do it all to the glory and praise of God through the Son, Jesus Christ, and we give great thanks. May we come before God, yes, especially in the valleys, and we should be saying, God, thank you for the trial. Thank you that it's shaping me and pruning me and refining me. Thank you that it's rubbing off all the raw edges that need to be smoothed and shaped into the likeness of your Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, thank you for this difficulty, because I know this, that when I am weak, oh God, you are strong. You see what's going on? Are we understanding this? Is it making sense? I pray scripture will further cement it in our minds. Philippians 2, 14 through 16. Do all things without complaining and disputing. Verse 15. That you may become, that you may evolve into being blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of this crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I may not run in vain or have labored in vain. Great text that Paul is pouring in there to those Philippians. And he's saying, look, here's the deal. Do all these things without complaining or disputing. Here he is setting this tone of not having the loophole, not having an escape clause. He's saying, look, in all things. Literally what he's saying is, and in whatever you do, do not complain, do not dispute. But what he does say is understand, embrace, and live that you are the light of the world as the gospel lives within you. That the word of God is dwelling in you richly. Be that light. Give off the light of the gospel in a very crooked and perverse generation. In whatever you do, show the light of Christ into the darkness. And in whatever you do, go pierce the darkness with the love of Jesus. And whatever you do, go charge into the darkness with the boldness that only comes through the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. And he said, you do it by holding fast the word of life, that you stay tethered. There it is again, the anchoring, that you're not moved, you're not swayed. There's been a stake driven in the ground, and the stake is into God himself, that we will not be shaken, that we will not be moved, that we will not be deterred. But in whatever we do, we are going to give glory to God and give thanks to him. And there's no other option but to trust and obey. The ungrateful culture that we live in is a direct byproduct of who our ungrateful culture is tethered to. When our culture is not tethered to Christ, an ungratefulness is the natural outflow and byproduct. And yet, for those of us who believe in Christ, He did not just save you to get you to heaven, but He saved you that you might make disciples and take a whole bunch of people with you as He produces the results. And we are just commanded to be faithful and obedient. See, it's in whatever we do, we're to give thanks. But I want you to hear my heart on this. And I alluded to this earlier briefly, but I want to conclude with these thoughts. I believe that Satan has several primary goals, but I believe two of these primary goals is to distract us through busyness and to increase our fleshly discontentment with the things of God. I mean, just think through this. If he can get us really busy for ourselves, we're not going to be whatever you do people for the glory of God. If he can distract us and get us complaining, that we would be like what was going on there in Numbers in the Old Testament, that the people were complaining. Man, they did not like what was going on. They were getting tired of the menu. They're like, we're sick of this God. And they're belly aching and they're whining and they're complaining. And Numbers 11 tells us what God thought of that. That God shows us that he's a God that does not tolerate ungratefulness. Numbers 11:1. Now when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. It displeased the Lord. For the Lord heard it, and his anger was aroused. So the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some in the outskirts of the camp. Are you seeing and getting what's going on here? That the people are whining and they're belly aching and they are giving God grief. And can you just try to picture what's going on here? That as they're complaining, God's wrath is beginning to burn hot as he's becoming aroused with anger. And in this instance, he didn't hold back his wrath. In this instance, he said, look, this is the premium I place on gratitude. This is the premium I place that in whatever you do to give glory to God, that whatever's going on in life, and when life doesn't go your way, and it's not one of your deals, and this isn't the plan you had for your life, it's not working out like you had planned, like I had planned, that we are still commanded to do it all for the glory of God in whatever we do, giving thanks, not because of the circumstances being what we would like them to be, but rather being grateful in the midst of the circumstances, especially when they're not what we want them to be. Because think through this. When your lost neighbor, coworker, family member, friend, whoever it might be, sees you and I only being grateful when we're on the mountaintop of life, that's not relating to them. They're not making the parallel. But man, when you're going through the heartache and you get the cancer report, when your family's going through difficult times financially and you're losing everything, when you've just lost your job, when your spouse walks out on you, you're faithful to God, you're true to God, and your spouse is deceived and they leave you. Those are some of the most sweetest times that we can, in whatever we do, reflect the glory of God, and how we react and how we do react will speak volumes to a watching world more than any times what any sermon could preach. And therefore, that leads me back to this Facebook thing. I mean, so many times what we see on Facebook is just stirring our hearts into greater discontentment. will spend hours upon hours, according to the reports and the statistics, hours. And what are we doing? We're comparing. What are we doing? We're hoping that someone else is just not quite as bad off as we are, if we're honest. And we spend hours upon hours scrolling, going up, going down, sitting at restaurants with our family, scrolling, going up, going down, going to recreation for family time. And what are we doing? We got our face buried in these phones, scrolling up and down, trying to see what someone else is doing so we can feel better about ourselves. And we're viewing these video resumes, so to speak, of people, these pictorial resumes of others that gives the appearance of the trophy family, of the trophy job, of the trophy material possessions, when I believe in so many of those instances, it's just a facade that's hiding, covering, and masking deep pain and deep sorrow. And so you're probably going, wait a minute, so you're saying again that that's all bad, technology's bad? Not at all. I believe we can leverage things such as Facebook to take the gospel out to the people who need to hear. But as I alluded to earlier, Satan will deceive. Satan is the deceiver. He's the father of all lies. And what he will do is he will use, in this example here today, he'll use technology. And he'll use it to distract us away from God. And therefore, now we're distracted away from God's word. Therefore, we're distracted away from praying to God and communing and depending and trusting in God. And therefore, we're distracted farther and farther away from God. Yes, it's a medium, it's a vehicle that can be, and I believe should be used for gospel. I believe it should be used to take the glorious story of Jesus Christ to the masses who need to hear. I vote yes, I vote yes, I vote yes. But just like what Satan does, he twists, he warps, he gets us looking down into our own flesh and what we do not have from an ungrateful heart. And what does he do? He plays on those emotions. He dangles the carrot. We become intoxicated. We partake, quote unquote, of the apple. We bite hook, line, and sinker. And before you know it, we've just spent 6 hours on a day looking at what everyone else is showing off when we could be in God's word, when we could be witnessing, when we could be saying, hey, I want to show you how great my God is. We could be, we could be, we could be. The problem is we're not. Because here's what happens. And you know this as well as I do. That as Satan uses this tool to distract us away, he then, as he plants that landmine in front of us, jealousy, coveting, ungratefulness, and the list goes on and on of now the attitudes of our hearts that have been completely drawn away from God, and therefore we're now living in the flesh. And we know this, God's word says that it's impossible to please God when we're in the flesh. That we need to be people that are walking in the Spirit. That we'll have the love and the joy and the peace and the patience and the gentleness and the self-control and all the fruits of the Spirit. Those will be a byproduct of someone who's in Christ, which therefore, in whatever we do, we'll do it all for the glory of God. And yes, even in the midst of the struggles of life, especially in the midst of the struggles of life, we will give thanks. We will be a grateful people. And we will be happy. And better yet, we will be content when others get what we crave. That we will rejoice with them. I got the job we wanted. Oh, they're able to go take that vacation that we haven't been able to take for decades. They have financial, quote unquote, security. Oh, we can rejoice with them. We can say, oh, I rejoice. I'm not jealous. I'm not coveting. Oh, I give praise to the great God who's blessed you. And yet the more content we become, the less time we will spend on comparing ourselves to others. And we will start understanding that what really matters is comparing ourselves to God.
You're listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. All of Pastor Couch's messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. In addition, you can share your prayer requests with us via email. Our email address for prayer requests is prayer@thisdayministries.org. That's prayer@thisdayministries.org. And now, back to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch.
John Piper said it like this. One of the great uses of Twitter and Facebook will be to prove that at that last day, that prayerlessness was not from lack of time. Did you catch what he said? That as Satan deceives, and it's so slow. Remember the fade that we go through with Satan? It's that slow fade. That what happens is we begin to drift from the shore, and it's so slow that when we wake up from taking that nap on the raft and we look up and we go, wait a minute, where is the stuff that I left on the beach? We realize that over time, as we were quote unquote asleep at the wheel, taking the nap on the raft, that we look up and the current has just slowly, we didn't even realize what was going on. But it's moved us from where we were to our current predicament of where we now are. I've never met one person yet that's been dealing with deep sin who said, man, I got into this and it happened overnight. No, when you unpack what happened, it was years and sometimes decades of compromise that led to a drifting away that took them miles from the seashore of God. You say, well, how are we then to, in whatever we do, give glory to God? How are we then to, in whatever we do, give thanks? How are we to give thanks in the trials of life? How are we then to overcome this? There's this gravitational pull of the flesh. There's this gravitational pull of Satan who's saying, look, come over here to my side. And our flesh is craving it and he's drawing. And there's this great gravitational pull. You're saying, man, I hear what's going on. I see God's word, but I'm being lured. I'm being drawn away. I'm being pulled. What do I do? God's word is clear. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. And you want to know how we draw near to God? Have you ever went to someone's house, maybe your own home? And maybe it's around the Thanksgiving time or Christmas time, and you go to sit down to partake of a meal, to have great fellowship and encouragement, to bask in the Lord together. And you sit down at the table and you can't help but notice what is sitting on the table. Yes, it's the food and that looks wonderful, but many times when we sit down at a table for an event, when we sit down at a table for a holiday, for celebrating something going on, many times there will be something at that table which is called a centerpiece. Have you ever noticed that the centerpiece is always something that looks so appealing? You don't show up and there's a pile of dirt in the middle of the table as you're going to get ready to eat your Christmas meal or Thanksgiving meal. No, there's something appealing. They call it a centerpiece because it's there to be beautiful. They call it a centerpiece because it's there to draw your focus. The focal point will be to the center of the table. That it's there to give off beauty. That it might say something in actual words, or it might be glorious as far as nature and flowers. Or I've seen so many different centerpieces, but many times you sit down and a comment will be made by someone at the table, "Wow, look at that centerpiece." You want to know how to overcome the gravitational pull of Satan and your flesh? You want to know how to, in whatever we do, to give glory to God the Father through Christ Jesus. And oh, by the way, to give thanks, not just in the good days, but in the very difficult days of life. You want to know how to do this? Here it is. As God's word just was spoken through what I quoted, that we are to draw near to Him and He will draw near to us, that we're to resist the devil, He will flee from us, that we're to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord and He will lift us up. Oh, praise be to God. Here's what we do. Christ, God, they must be our centerpiece of life. I pray all of us want to get to this point in our lives that just God, His word, His praise, His glory, that we would be God-centered, Christ-exalting, Bible-driven, prayer-saturated, that all of that would be our centerpiece. That each and every day that we get up, our centerpiece on our table of life would be, oh God, use me today for your praise and your glory. Oh God, use me to advance your kingdom today. Oh God, I'm yours. I'm no longer my own. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives within me. Therefore, you are my focus. You are my centerpiece. Oh, I want people to look in my life and say, I don't see him. I don't see her. But I see a stunning centerpiece of their life. And oh, praise be to God that they will see that it's Jesus Christ, my hope of glory. And so the question today is, who or what is your centerpiece? Because who or what is truly your centerpiece today will reveal how we behave in whatever we do. And it will reveal who we give thanks to. And it will reveal a heart of gratitude or a heart that's very ungrateful. Because ultimately it will reveal who we truly serve. Father, thank you for your gracious goodness that in spite of us, not because of us, you still love us. That even though in whatever we do, we often do not follow you. And yet your long-suffering mercy extends towards us as far as the east is to the west. And yet, Father, we pray that we would not be a people that take advantage of that mercy and grace. But yet we would prayerfully be a people that would fall on our face each and every day, crying out to you that you would make us more like Jesus, your Son. And so, Father, we ask as you chisel off the rough edges of our lives, as you scrub the sin within the crevices of our hearts. Well, Father, we ask today that you would create in us a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within us.
And so, Father, we know for that to happen, we need to get honest and open with you. We pray we would do that today. That whatever idols are in our lives, whatever is jockeying for position, for preeminence in our lives, Father, we pray that all of that would be repented from today, and you and only you would be first and foremost in every area of our lives. And so, Father, we ask that you would speak right now. Speak in a powerful way. We pray the Holy Spirit would illuminate right now your word. Literally fall down like rain on our hearts. Wash our hearts, cleanse our hearts. Remove blinders, remove deception. Help us to walk today from this day forward and this day ongoing. Help us to walk in a newness of life that again, Father, in whatever we do, in everything, help us to be so determined, so adamant to give you the praise, to give you the glory, to live for you all the days of our lives. And so, Father, as we come humbly before you now, the cry of our heart is that we decrease while you increase. The cry of our heart is that not unto us, but to your name, we will give glory because of your mercy, because of your truth. We pray this in the mighty, the matchless name of the one true King, the one true Savior, and His name is Jesus. We prayed in His name only, and all God's people said, Amen.
You've been listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. Don't forget that all of these messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. That's thisdayministries.org. In addition, if you have been blessed by the teaching of God's Word during This Day in the Word, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is info@thisdayministries.org. Thanks again for listening as we strive to honor Christ and impact our world as we spend this day in the Word.